podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to a Why Can't We podcast called This Sport Podcast. My name is Peter Harding.
And I'm Sean Malone.
Each month we'll bring you up to date with disability sports stories from around the world. We'll also be joined by a few people involved in disability sports. Why Can't We has been running since 2012 after I saw the Paralympics in London. After attending as a spectator, I wondered why we don't see coverage of disability sports on a regular basis. Disability sports happen all the time, not just every 4 years. So I started the campaign to help raise awareness of disability sports, and the campaign has grown from there.
These podcasts are made to help you keep up to date with para sports, for elite athletes to sports fans. Or if this is the first time you're hearing about disability sport, please follow on Why Can't We social media or visit whycan'twe.co.uk and make sure you subscribe to this podcast. The campaign can't carry on without your support.
So join us each month for an update on This Sport Pod. Let's just get started then. So do you want to, first of all, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Martin Hibbert. I live in Chorley, Lancashire. Boltonian, born and bred. Very proud Boltonian. I'm a Man United supporter, been a season ticket holder, been watching them for 40 years pretty much, been all over the world.
Well, that's been interesting recently.
Say that again.
That's been interesting recently then.
But yeah, it's been an interesting 10 years. But I can't grumble with what I've seen and the trophies that they've won. And I do believe football goes in a big circle, and you know, you do, it's kind of the highs and lows.
Yeah.
So we're in a low at the minute, but that'll change.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Fulham fan, so I know the feeling.
Well, there you go. You're stuck in this bit here for...
Yeah, exactly. Every one day it's going to go to the top, but we'll see. So do you want to tell me a bit about, you know, what your journey? So if people are tuning into this podcast,
yeah,
what happens and how have you essentially gone to climb Kilimanjaro?
So, yeah, so my story starts, I've become kind of, I suppose, infamous with what happened in 2017 in Manchester. So I'd taken my then 14-year-old daughter, Eve, to the Ariana Grande concert at the Manchester Arena on the 22nd of May 2017. And got a long story short, we left during the encore. We were walking through the city room and we ended up being the closest survivors. So we were 6 metres away when Salman Abedi detonated his suicide bomb. I suffered 22 shrapnel wounds, one that had totally severed my spinal cord. So I now have a T10 complete spinal cord injury. So in layman terms, I'm paralysed from the belly button down. The rest was scattered all over my body. So I was like, I always laugh about it. I always, if you remember like the Tom and Jerry cartoons when Tom would be shot and he'd drink a pint of water and he'd leak. I was almost like that, you know. I had holes all over my body. But thankfully, I'd shielded Eve from the bomb blast, but one bolt had got through and it hit her in the temple and went straight through. So she suffered a very traumatic brain injury and has been left, kind of in a wheelchair herself. You know, I'm pretty sure we'll probably need care for the rest of her life, but we're both alive. And that's kind of where we are. You know, I spent 6 months in hospital. Eve spent about 10 months in hospital. And just kind of that's been the attitude, really, that I'm not going to allow the terrorists or my injury to dictate who I am and what I can do. And like I said to you before, it's actually made me stronger and more stubborn than I was.
So before this all happened, you're entirely bullied. And how much experience have you had of disabled, being, you know, having a disability or even
not very much. I mean, my mum had arthritis and stuff, but she wasn't disabled as such. I mean, it did end up being a disability because she couldn't walk, and you know, she ended up, unfortunately, she passed away last year. But no, like, you know, obviously, you know, like most people, you see it about, but you don't see it, you know, and that's one of the things where, you know, when I'm out and about in my wheelchair, I mean, I drive a car, I go out shopping, I travel, you know, I go to the football. You don't really see a lot of disabled people out. And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm frustrated about is just the level of accessibility in this country and the perception of disability. You know, you can ring a hotel and it's, I'm sorry, Mr. Hibbert, we don't have any accessible rooms, or sorry, sir, we don't have a lift to this floor of this restaurant, or we don't have a ramp, or, and it's just ridiculous that in the 21st century that, you know, just because I'm in a wheelchair, it stops me getting into places. You know, we still have that. So that's one of the things that I'm trying to change. And that's what the Kilimanjaro project was about. That it was about, look at what somebody in a wheelchair can do when they've got the right help and support. You know, I can climb Kilimanjaro, but actually there's still shops in London that I can't get in.
Yeah.
You know, how crazy is that? You know, yeah. And it is terrible. It's getting better, but there's still a long way to go. And I, you know, if you've seen a lot of the interviews that I've done, you know, it's not the spinal cord injury, it's not the wheelchair that makes me feel disabled. It's people.
Yeah.
People's perception of disability.
Yeah.
It's the lack of accessible rooms in hotels. It's the lack of ramps and accessible means to get into places. You know, and when I'm doing my motivational talk, and I say, you know, it's, you know, when you hear about disability, you're either a Paralympic gold medalist or you're a benefit scrounger, and I'm neither.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's
fair that you have done a lot, you've achieved a lot.
Well, there is, but I don't see myself as being a superhero or inspirational. Yeah, no, or I just don't. I'm just living the life that I feel I should live.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything that I didn't do before I was injured. But why should I not be able to travel? Why should I not be able to eat in nice restaurants just because I'm in a bloody wheelchair? That's what I get angry about. And, you know, you've probably had it yourself where, you know, you book an accessible room and you get in it and you're like, there's a bath in the, how am I going to get in and out of that? You know, that's the perception that we need to change.
Yeah.
And we're only going to do that by singing and shouting about it and calling it in when we see it. So that's what I do now. You know, I've got quite a big media following now. So if I put something on Twitter, I get a big response on it. And that's what I do now. I call it in. You know, my appearances on BBC Breakfast and in the media, on radio, you know, it's given me a voice now. So I can challenge things for the better. And, you know, I get it, you know, all the time. Oh, I didn't, you know, until I saw you on BBC Breakfast, I didn't even realise that was an issue. Well, you won't, because nobody talks about it.
Of course, exactly. I think that's kind of the key message that we're trying to push as well. Why can't we? Is that disability sport is something that does happen all the time.
Yeah.
And actually, it might not be the Paralympics. It might not be these major events that everyone's expecting. Yeah. It might just be your local football team who's got a disability team. And actually, they're achieving ahead of a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they might not be praised as much as, say, the everybody team we've gone and won the cups.
One of my good friends who's in a wheelchair, he was my peer support officer at the Spinal Injuries Association, he's Gary Dawson. He goes all around the world playing basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a very good basketball player. And, you know, you see Wimbledon, I'm still in disbelief at how you can play tennis in a wheelchair. And that's me, I'm in a wheelchair. But I think, God, like, you know, kind of, wheeling with a cup of coffee is hard enough, but even watching it, I'm just like, I don't know how they do it. I'm in a wheelchair. I don't know how they do it.
So I've got to ask them, have you actually tried wheelchair tennis or tried any wheelchair sport?
No, Gary's on it. I'm one of these that, and my wife, I don't know if my wife's listening, but she'll probably come in and say, yes, I agree. But like with me, I'm, I, I haven't, not, I don't think I'm all seedy or anything. Gabby would probably tell you differently. But with me, when I do something, I give 150%, like, to the point where, like, if I'm so competitive, like, I've got two younger brothers and we were competitive at everything, you know, to the point of where we fought, even now we fought, like, we've got a fancy football league between the three of us and we fall out about it because we're so competitive. And for me, if I do something, I'm not one of these, it's the taking part that is, no, it's not, it's about winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's me. Like, if I do something, I've got to be the best. Yeah. I've got to win. And that's why, like, with sport or stuff, I just don't get involved because it would just take over my life. Like, Gary's like, come and play basketball. It's just like, and I did used to play basketball, but I just know that, like, I'd just become an animal. So there's a few people that are after me to do sports, but at the minute I've kind of kept it at arm's length. Not because I'm not interested. I just know that I'd just be an animal and just take over my life. And I've just got other things that I need to do at the moment.
And that's fair enough. Yeah, I'm sure in the future you might turn your hand to whatever sport it might be, but
I'm a big football fan. I'm a big Man United fan. I've been all over the world watching Man United. That's my passion. So when I'm not running around like a nutter, football is my kind of my thing. And I'm in one of the new disabled sections, so just started to go to away games and things. So that's my kind of chill out time, going watching Man United. And
And yeah. Have you found accessibility for football matches and going to the...
You know what, United are really good, you know.
Good.
They've spent about 12 million quid on new facilities, and it's amazing. So I can't grumble. It's one of them, you know, you go to some grounds and it's amazing, you go to others and it's, you know, it's not the best, but, you know, it is what it is. It's certainly better than it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like I say, you go to Old Trafford now and it's amazing. It's
really, that's really good to hear.
You know, it's actually going abroad and stuff, because one of the things I did before I was injured, we'd go and watch United abroad. So we'd have like a couple of away days every year. And that's the issue at the minute, that in the United Kingdom, disability and stuff and accessibility is getting better. Abroad, it's just, you know, unless you go to like the Nou Camp or something like that, but, you know, like the teams that we've played in the Europa League, one of them's in Moldova, one of them's in Cyprus, you know, they probably don't even know what a wheelchair is, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't expect the accessible facilities to be anything good. So we'll see. That's kind of what it's my passion. Despite how they've been playing, I still turn into a seven-year-old every time I go to Old Trafford.
Hi, I'm Megan. I'm a Why Can't We journalist, and you can read some of my articles at whycan'twe.co.uk.
Let's go back to your story then. And so this life-changing event had happened. You said that you wanted to just get on with life. You wanted to try and carry on, and you wanted to, you know, fight all these challenges you kind of put up against you.
Yeah.
But what made you decide, right, Kilimanjaro, let's go towards?
I think what I tended to fight, like when I was at the spinal unit and when I was in the hospital, they tend to focus on the things that you couldn't do as opposed to what you could do. And it did me head in that. And I think I wound a lot of people up at the hospital because I was like, well, no, but I want to do this. I know I can do it. They were like, well, no, we don't think you can. It's like, no, I can do it because I know I will. Do you know what I mean? And it was, and that was the attitude, you know, it was like, I can do it and I'm going to do it, whether you say I can't or not. And actually, you know, I can always hear my wife and my friends going like, don't say that, because like, if you say you can't do something, he's going to try and prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. So I've always been like that. I've always been like a bull to a red rag. When somebody tells me I can't do something, I love proving people wrong. And that's kind of, it's become even bigger now. Yeah. You know, because there's so many other challenges that, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I wonder if I could do that. So obviously I started kind of doing a bit of work for the Spinal Injuries Association, and we raised a hell of a lot of money. And then somebody just made a flippant comment about, oh, you've just raised £1 million. What are you going to do next year to do it? And I don't think they're expecting a reply. And I just said, oh, I'll do something. I'll risk my life doing something. I'll climb Mount Everest or something.
Yeah.
And they were like, really? I was like, yeah. I'm like, we'll do something crazy. So anyway, they went away and came back and they was like, they don't think Mount Everest possible. Nobody's done it in a wheelchair, but they've said that the second hardest one is probably Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
Well, that's how we do it then. Well, let's do that. And I don't think they thought I was serious. And I was like, right, yeah, let's do it. Not really thinking about how I would do it, who would do it with me. You know what I mean? I just, like a lot of things I do, I just say, yeah, well, you know, I'll worry about it afterwards. Like the Richard Branson approach, you know. Say you can do it and then worry about how you're going to do it afterwards.
Yeah.
And then that was the back end of 2019. And then obviously, you know, the world kind of stopped revolving, didn't it, for a couple of years.
And did, yeah.
And then about this time last year, Tanzania came off the red list and we got a date in the diary for June this year. So we flew out end of May and we reached the summit on the 11th of June.
Amazing, amazing.
How
was it?
Oh, I mean, it was... Yeah, I mean, I still have to pinch myself that we've done it. But, I mean, it was, you know, because, you know, you being a disabled man, you'll know, like, you know, kind of the risks associated with doing it. You know, I was risking my life doing it, you know. So there was a lot of thought having to go into it in terms of, you know, how I did my, you know, there's no toilets on the side of the mountain. So doing your bowel, your bladder, you know, you're checking your skin. There were so many things that could go wrong, and if it did go wrong, you know, could potentially be life-threatening. So there was that. There was obviously the cold, the heat, the terrain. Obviously, you go. It was almost like being a hobbit and going on Lord of the Rings, you know, kind of going to the top of it. That's literally what it was like, you know, kind of wind and fire and rain and sleet and snow and boulders, ash. You know, it was everything. But no, it was amazing. And to see the views and to see even the local people looked at me as though I'd go like, how are you going to do this? You know? Yeah. But no, it was amazing. And to be, you know, to do only 60% of able-bodied people do it.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, that in itself is good.
Yeah.
What that now allows us to do in terms of, because, you know, that story's gone all around the world.
Yeah.
I've had messages from across the globe, how it's inspired, how it's motivated, changed perception. So I'm just hopeful that it now allows me to, it is going to do, you know, we're going to start lobbying government. That's what my call was before you, just talking about how we get now in front of ministers and to hopefully change, you know, how we view accessibility and
the law
around discrimination. And, you know, the Equality Act, which, you know, we cannot be discriminated because we're disabled, yet we have to put up with it every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's what I want to, that's what I'm passionate about now.
Amazing.
And that's the next project. So yeah, watch this first.
Hello, my name is Elle. I'm a journalist for Why Can't We? And you can find some of my articles at whycan'twe.co.uk.
So you climbed Kilimanjaro,
you
come back and you've raised all this money.
Mm-hmm.
Have you now got another ambition of the next project?
I mean, I'm not really talking about it, but I want to do Everest.
Everest, wow.
I want to do Base Camp Everest. That's the one. That's the one I want to do.
Wow. And
I'm having a chat in January with a team who reckon they can help me get up. So I'm just going to listen to them and see. That's the one I want to do.
Yeah.
Because it's not been done.
And do you have to do training for it and everything?
I mean, it's going to, Kilimanjaro was tough. I mean, this is probably going to be 12 months training, I think. So we'll see. I mean, it takes an able-bodied person 11 days. So it's almost kind of like double the time. And it's obviously the temperatures and you're obviously touching the death zone and stuff like that. So I'd have to give it a lot of thought, you know what I mean? Like Kilimanjaro, you know, yes, it was a risk, but, you know, other than if something went terribly wrong, there's no real risk to life with Everest. You know, obviously somebody died a couple of weeks ago, you know, one of the team who I'm talking with, they've lost one of the team.
Oh, wow.
So it's serious.
Scary, yeah, yeah.
And you know, I don't know if I want to put them all through it again, and my friends and family and stuff. So I've got it. So yeah, so I'm gonna have a think about it. But it's just these things eat away at me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it's like if I can do it, I'd want to give it a go.
Yeah, of course. Do you think if you hadn't had your disability, you would have tried to do these challenges? Like go.
Probably not. No, it's a sad thing to say, isn't it?
It is. I mean,
I think I'm. But again, I think, you know, not that I wasn't different in any way. I just had different objectives, different things that I wanted to achieve. And then when you go through an experience like I have, everything that you thought was important overnight disappears. So I've got a different approach to life, what's important, what's not important. So I talk about, you know, the Martin that you're talking to now, I always talk about, it's like Martin Hibbert Mark III. You know what I mean? I talk about, you know, when I look at photographs of me, it's like a different person.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, in some ways it's sad, in some ways, I like who I am. I love who I am now. I was doing about this time last year, I was over in Sheffield doing with a spinal expert, just doing a report for the arena inquest. Yeah. And I said something I've never said it before. I said, you know, if somebody said to me, right, you can go back to your old life tomorrow and be able-bodied, would you do it? And I was like, I don't know if I would. Hmm. And that's quite powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I prefer the Martin that I am now.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, I think, like, shit, like, that's quite a powerful thing, you know what I mean? And I'm still in that mindset where I don't know if I would go back.
Yeah.
You know, and people go, quite sure you'll, but I don't know if I would. I actually prefer the person that I am now.
Yeah, that is amazing. I think it's...
And there's obviously things I would change, you know, kind of the bowel, the bladder, and, you know, all that kind of thing, you know, having accidents and stuff like that. It's not nice, but I just, you know, who I am now, I've got purpose. I know who I am and what I'm about. So I don't know if I could answer that previously. So I know it's probably a bit deep for what we're talking about, but it has, that's been on my mind that, you know, if you could go back, would you? And I was like, I don't know if I would.
I think I can join you in that statement. I mean, it's something, when I had my brain injury, for example, I suddenly realised there's a whole world of disability sport out there, and suddenly there's this new kind of passion, this new desire to change the world, essentially. And I think that seems what you're saying here. That
no, definitely. Yeah, and I do. I love the person that I am now. And, you know, there's still days when I have bad days and I'm frustrated and I'm ill and I end up in hospital. And but I look at, you know, what I've done over the last 5 years and, you know, where I've been, where I've traveled to, you know, the people that I've met. You know, Dan Walker's just written about me in his book. Mm. You know, I think, you know, the Martin before it, you know, just coasted along and, you know, didn't really, you know, have any objectives or, you know, so yeah, it was very powerful thing that when I said it, but I still ask myself, I think I probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that's happened, and that's very powerful.
No, it's incredible. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this interview and talking to you.
Very welcome. Thank you for inviting me on. It's a pleasure. Like I say, if you ever want me to come on again, let me know.
Definitely will do. Thank you very much. Cheers.
No problem. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, then don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Join us next time on This Sport Pod. See you then.